We're going to tell a famous story from the Valmiki Ramayana, which is the story, a love story. It was not about Sita and Ram. It's about Shakuntala. Anyone's heard that name before, Shakuntala?
Yes.
Some of you may have heard that story. So, anyway, the story starts with the story of Viswamitra Muni. So, let's go back a little bit. And this story actually was told in the Valmiki Ramayana when Ram and Lakshman and Viswamitra Muni had gone to Mathila. This is before the Sita Swayamvar. Just right before the Sita Swayamvar. So, anyway, so many stories come to mind. So Mathila is called Mathila. Does anyone know why? No one knows. Because once upon a time, before Janaka was king, actually several hundred years before, there was a king, and his name was Nimi. And King Nimi, he was a very great devotee. And King Nimi wanted to do Sankirtan, have a Sankirtan Yajna. So King Nimi went to his guru, Vasishtha Muni, and he said to Vasishtha Muni, I want to do Sankirtan Yajna. And Vasishtha Muni said, just wait a few days, because I have to go to the demigods and do Sankirtan, or not Sankirtan, just Yajna for them. King Nimi was thinking that Guru Maharaj is in a little bit of Maya, because he wants to go to the demigods because they pay more money. So anyway, so Guru Maharaj, that is Vasishtha Muni, went to the demigods. King Nimi did his own sacrifice without his guru. Guru came back. Guru got so angry that he cursed his disciple to die. He said, you shall be near Deha, which means without a body. So the disciple gave his guru, Guru Dakshin. He said, you should also be without a body, Guru Maharaj. So he cursed his... It's all a story in the Ramayana. And it's also in Bhagavatam, too. Part of it's in the Bhagavatam. So anyway, so King Nimi died and Vasishtha Muni died. Of course, Vasishtha Muni later on came back through the Semana of Mitra and Varuna. But King Nimi's body was preserved until the end of the sacrifice. And at the end of the sacrifice, the demigods came down and said, what do you want? And the Brahmin said, we want King Nimi to come back to life. And then King Nimi, whose body was preserved in a vat of oil, came out of the oil. And he says, I don't want to be back to life. I want to be back to Godhead. So he went back in the oil, went back to the spiritual world. So the Brahmanas were thinking, we need a king. So what they did is they genetically modified the genes from the clones. In other words, this is stories of the Bhagavatam and the Ramayana. They cloned the genes and they came up with a child. And that child was named Janaka, but that was Janaka the first. So every king in Mathila after that was called Janaka. Like Janaka the first, Janaka the second, Janaka the third, Janaka the fourth, Janaka, you understand. So Sita Devi's father, Janaka, was one of those Janakas. And Mathila is called Mathila because it comes from the Sanskrit word maiti, which means to churn. So the body was actually churned somewhere genetically. Anyway, so that's a side story, not specifically about Shakuntala. So Viswamitra Muni told the whole story of his life. So the story of Viswamitra Muni's life is as follows. That once upon a time, Viswamitra Muni was a king, and a great king. He wasn't a Muni at that point. And so what he did is he was visiting the ashram of Vasishtha Muni. And Vasishtha Muni had this cow, Nandini, who was actually a desire cow. And I'm just telling you the story very quickly because there's a lot more details. So Viswamitra Muni wanted the cow. And eventually, he took the cow away by force. But then the cow escaped and went back to Vasishtha. And Vasishtha said to the cow, I'd like you to stay, but I can't fight myself because I'm a Brahmin. So then the cow produced all the weapons from its udder and from its rear end and everything like that, and killed all the soldiers of Visramitra Muni. Pretty bad. And the Visramitra Muni's sons, 100 sons, got killed in this battle too. So then Visramitra Muni, or he wasn't Muni, he was a king, he actually thought, now I have to get weapons. So he started to worship Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva gave him all these weapons. He came back, attacked Vasishta, and Vasishta Muni absorbed all these weapons, including the Brahmastra, in his cane. He had a staff. It's hard to describe what it is, like, shaped like this. It was a cane or a staff. And he absorbed all the weapons. And Visramitra was thinking, I have to become a Brahmin. So then he started to perform austerities to become a Brahmin, or a Brahma Rishi, which is actually what he wanted. Then he got the benediction of being a Raja Rishi, which is not what he wanted. That means a saintly king. So then he went back and started to perform more really tough austerities. So while he was performing the austerities, Indra and the demigods, they got very worried. Because generally, when people perform austerities, they're doing it to become a demigod. And Indra doesn't want anyone to take over his position. Generally, people who perform like 100 horse sacrifices, they get to be Indra. And so he usually stops people when they're doing these austerities. So one of the best ways to stop people from doing austerities is he sends down some apsaras. Apsaras are the heavenly society girls who are not really chained to one husband. They have a variety of... Sometimes Prabhupada said... excuse me. It's all right. Sometimes Prabhupada said that they're heavenly prostitutes. Anyway. So... he happened to send down this nice girl, Menaka. So Visramitra Muni was performing his austerities, and all of a sudden, Prabhupada describes this, he heard the ankle bells of Menaka, and he opened his eyes. You know, he has his eyes closed. Actually, generally, people who are meditating, they have their eyes half closed. Because full closed, they go to sleep. Full open, they see Maya. So, and you stare at the tip of your nose, you don't see much Maya there. Right? Not too much Maya in the tip of your nose. So, anyway, especially if you have the coronavirus. You don't see anything. So he opened his eyes and he saw Menaka, and he went, wow. Because she's so attractive. And he just went up to her and said, will you marry me? And she said, yes, of course. She said, I thought you'd never ask. So they did this type of marriage called the Gandharva marriage. There's many different nice types of marriage in the Vedic culture. And many of them save people money because they're very quick. The Gandharva marriage is just like when you exchange garlands, then you're considered married. And a better one is the Rakshasa one, where you kidnap the girl. It's bona fide. Krishna did it. Right? Right? Everybody knows the story? Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. Arjuna did it. He kidnapped Subhadra. So it's a very nice, because you don't have any money spent, you know, it's very cheap. You don't have to sit around a long time just saying all these mantras. And it's quite boring. Actually, most of the men who go to the marriages get bored at them. The women cry and the men get bored. Right? So what happened is they got married. And for 10 years they were living with each other. And he forgot all about his austerities. He just, this is better than austerities anyway. And then they had a little baby girl. And as soon as Menaka had the baby girl, Vishwamitra Muni, he realized that he was in Maya. And he looked at her, and she was shaking. She was thinking, oh my God, he's angry. I caused him to fall down. And then he said, it's not your fault. And then she went away, he went away, and this little baby girl was left in the forest. And nobody was there to protect her. So what happened is that there were vultures there that protected this girl. That's why she's called Shakuntala, which means the girl protected by vultures. So she was protected by vultures, and then she was found by this great sage, Kanva Muni. Kanva Muni adopted her as his daughter. So here's this daughter of Vishwamitra Muni and Menaka, a very, very beautiful girl, being adopted by Kanva Muni. And Kanva Muni is very detached, obviously. He's just being very kind to her. So she grows up. And what happens is that this is a famous story. Everybody should know this story. In fact, everybody in India knows this story. So what happened is that there was a great king at that time. His name was Dushmanta. And Dushmanta was traveling around and doing his king stuff, you know, hunting or practicing. And he came to the ashram of Kanva Muni. Kanva Muni wasn't there at that time, and he saw this girl. And he went, wow, she should marry me. So he went to her and said, my dear young girl, you know, will you get married? She fell in love with him, and they exchanged garlands, and they had a conjugal relationship. And then he said to her, I have to go back to my kingdom, because he was in charge. This is, of course, way before Lord Rama appeared, way before the Mahabharata, or any of these different stories. So he went back to his kingdom, and he was thinking of calling her one day back to the kingdom. Meantime, she was pregnant. And she was still in the ashram of her father, Kanva Muni, adopted father. And she was dreaming about her husband. She was madly in love. Oh, my husband, Maharaj Dushmanta, he's so wonderful. She basically became almost blind because she was just dreaming all the time. You know, she forgot to eat, she forgot to sleep. It's a love story. Anyway, nice love story. And so then what happened? She was, oh, Dushmanta, 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 oh, Dushmanta. In love. And so then what happened is that, lo and behold, Durvasa Muni was visiting the ashram. And, you know, Durvasa Muni has a real bad temper. That's why it's called Durvasa. It means bad face or bad temper. And if you get him angry, you're finished. So Durvasa Muni, anyway, so he's visiting the ashram, and he was expecting her to serve him, obviously. You know, the sage comes, you know, it's just like, you know, even if I walk into someone's house and the girl's just going, oh, Dushmanta, Dushmanta, Dushmanta. I get pretty upset too. You know. Can I have some water? Dushmanta. So, and Durvasa Muni got really upset. And he cursed her. And he said, I curse you in such a way that Dushmanta will not remember you. Poor girl. So, anyway. So what happened is that her friends went to Durvasa Muni and said, you know, how can you do this to this poor girl? She's just in love. Durvasa Muni thought, well, yeah, that's right. I got to be more kind than this. And so he said to her that the king will forget you, but when he sees the present he gave you, which was a ring, you know, the royal ring, he gave her a wedding ring. Basically, when he sees the wedding ring, then he'll remember you. So she was thinking, shh, everything's all right. So, all right, so what happens? is that, okay, so then one day she decides to go see Dushmanta, her husband. So she goes and she crosses the river, and she's crossing the river, she's waving her hand in the water like this. And the ring falls off. And she goes before the king, and she has her little son with her. The son's name is Bart, incidentally. And she says, Dushmanta, here I am, my beloved. And he says, who are you? To get rid of this lady. You know, give her some food, you know, but get her out of here. You know, I don't know her. She's not my wife. So this poor girl, she's crying and crying and crying, and she gets kicked out of the kingdom. And so, of course, it doesn't end there. So, it's an interesting story, isn't it? I mean, she gets kicked out, and she's, you know, she has her little son, who is a great personality. So, and he's very strong, too. Actually, this Bart was so strong that he used to wrestle with lions and tigers and open their mouths and count their teeth. Describe the Valmiki Ramayana. He was just like, 1, 2, 3. He wasn't worried about being bit. He was very strong. So what happened is that once upon a time, there was a fisherman. And the fisherman caught a fish, and the fish had happened to have swallowed this ring. Whoops. Sorry about that. It's all right. This is close. It's closer. So the fisherman caught the fish, opened it up, and he saw the ring. And he said, this is the king's ring. So he brought it back to the king. Dushmanta, you listening? Phone call. Jivanath, tell him everything will be all right. Tell him I'll see him tomorrow. So he went back to the king, and he gave the king the ring. And as soon as the king saw the ring, he realized, wow, that girl was my wife. And so he went into the forest to try to find her. Where is Shakuntala? Where is Shakuntala? And the first thing he sees is this young boy wrestling tigers, lions. And he asked the young boy, you know, who are you? Who's your mother and who's your father? And he said, you're my father. And my mother is there waiting for him. So he goes, they apologize, he apologizes to her, takes her back to the kingdom, and they live happily ever after. That's the famous story of Shakuntala. So, and let me just finish the story of Vishwamitra Muni, because that's also interesting. Because the poor Vishwamitra Muni is there and say, all right, so then he starts to execute more austerities for about 100 years. And he's thinking, now I'm really doing well. And so as he's executing austerities under a tree, and a bird passes stool on his head, and he gets angry and burns up the bird with his glance. And then he ruins the fruit of all of his austerities. Then he begins to perform more austerities. All right, let's leave him alone. Let's go back to Vashishta for a second, because this is all so connected. So there's this king in the Ikshvaku dynasty, the same dynasty Lord Rama appeared in. His name is Trishanku. And Trishanku has this idea that he wants to go to heaven in his same body. So he goes to Vashishta Muni. Vashishta Muni says, no, that's stupid. You have to change your body. Then he goes to Vashishta Muni's sons. And what happens is that Vashishta Muni's sons curse him to become a chandala. The story's in the Bhagavatam also. So his whole body turns like dark, the jewels turn to lead or to, you know, iron or something like that. And he looks really ugly at this point. Then he goes to Visramritra, who's engaged in austerities. And he says, Vashishtha didn't do this. And also his sons turned me into a chandala. And Vishwamitra Muni gets so upset, he said, all right, I'm going to let you go back to the spiritual, not spiritual, heaven, in your same body. So he performs this austerity and the sacrifices, and he can't get the demigods to take Sri Shanku to heaven. So then, with his own power, he sends Sri Shanku, who's very ugly at this point, to the heavenly planets. And the demigods see him coming, and they say, go back down. So he goes back down, and then Vishwamitra Muni sends him back up, and he goes back down, and he bounces around for a while. And then Vishwamitra Muni, he actually situates him and creates another system of heavenly planets around this Sri Shanku. So then he's lost all of his austerity again. And so then he goes and tries to perform more austerity. Then what happens then, there's sort of like a human sacrifice at that time. So the guy who's supposed to be sacrificed, his name is Sunakshepa. He comes to Vishwamitra Muni and he says, please save me, I don't want to be sacrificed. So Vishwamitra Muni says to his sons, one of you should take his place. He has 100 sons. And they all refuse, and then he curses all of his sons to become chandalas for thousands of births. So here's this guy losing control of his temper all the time. And then he starts meditating for another 100 years, and the demigods send Ramba this time instead of Menaka. And this time he doesn't get married to her, but he actually curses her to become a stone. So then he loses all of his austerity again. It's a poor guy. But, you know, later on, anyway, we'll continue the story. So then he performs austerity for another 100 years, and he's getting ready to eat prasadam after 100 years. And what happens is a Brahmin comes and says, I would like something to eat, to test him. And that Brahmin happens to be Indra. And he gives all the food to Indra. And he passes that test. Then he does another 1,000 years of austerities. Finally, Lord Brahma, he has all these flames coming out of his head. And finally, Lord Brahma comes and says, all right, you're a Brahma Rishi. And so he becomes a Brahma Rishi, but by that time he's given up his anger and his problems, and he becomes friends with Vashishtha Muni. So it took a long time. So he changed his varna, which is very interesting. He was a Kshatriya before, and then he became a Brahmin at the end, and a great Brahmin. And that's part of the beginning story of the Ramayana, where he actually, of course, he takes Ram and Lakshman and they kill Tataka and other demons like Subahu and Amrich. Amrich gets sent into the ocean. Anyway, so that's the beginning of the Ramayana. It's one of the side stories in the Ramayana. So, anyone have any questions? Interesting story, isn't it? So if you study the Valmiki Ramayana, you'll know all these side stories. Very interesting. Like, how did Vishwamitra Muni become Vishwamitra Muni?
What was the reason for the sons of Vashishtha cursing Trishanku?
Because cursing Trishanku? Because Trishanku was trying to make an end run around their father's instruction. You know, imagine your father says something, and then the person goes to the son, says, you know, your father wasn't doing a good thing, so you can do it. And these sons, of course, of Vashishtha Muni, later on got cursed. There's more of the story by Vishwamitra before he became a Brahma Rishi, because they did not want to participate in Vishwamitra Muni's sacrifice and send Sri Shanku to the heavenly planets. But there's a lot more details I didn't have time to tell of this particular story. But the story, the main reason I'm telling these stories, it revolves around the story of Shakuntala. And this Bart is called, and Prabhupada said that this world, or India, is called Bart Varsha, after this Bart. And Prabhupada said there's other famous Bartas, such as the son of Rishabhadev, is another one. And there's other ones, actually, too, in Vedic history. But he's considered the one from whom the name Bharta Varsha came. which is India.
I think Prabhupada also mentions that this Bharat is like the original version of the modern day Tarzan.
Yeah, Tarzan, yeah. Yeah, that Prabhupada said, because he was able to open up the mouths of tigers and he was raised in the forest. And the interesting thing about why India is called India, this is another story. It's not from the Ramayana. This is, and why Hindus are called Hindus, is because there is a river that separated separated India, the India we know today, from, you know, Afghanistan and all these other places. And that's called the Indus River. And then later on, because the Greeks and others couldn't properly pronounce the word, I mean, at least, actually Iran first, was the people called, who lived on the other side of the Indus River, as Hindus, because they couldn't pronounce things. And then the Greeks couldn't pronounce the H too well, so Indus, it became Indus or India. So the Greeks actually gave the name India to India, and the Iranians gave the name of Hindu to people who lived in India. So it's not actually in the Vedic literature. You'll not find the word Hindu anywhere in the Vedic literatures. It was a appellation that was only used by the invaders. And even it was not used internally until after the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was used externally. In other words, the invaders called people who follow the Vedic culture Hindus. But later on, it became an internal identification. In other words, people considered themselves Hindus. But actually, you know, it doesn't mean anything, which is interesting. It'd be like the people who were, let's say, Jewish, calling themselves Jordans because of the Jordan River. Or the American Indians calling their religion Atlantic Ocean. I mean, just, anyway, whatever. So what are we? We're followers of Sanatana Dharma. Not the organization Sanatana Dharma in Fiji or in other places, but the actual Sanatana Dharma, which means eternal religious principles, eternal position of the soul. And we're Vaishnavas, but Vaishnavism is actually Sanatana Dharma. Jivera Swarupahoy Nitya Krishna Das. Okay, any other questions or things to add? It's a nice story. So all you ladies can dream of that story of Shakuntala.
One really good example is how we can become Brahman just by getting second initiation doesn't make us Brahman.
No.
We have to practice to become a Brahman.
No.
Brahmana is the conscious, not the prayer.
Yeah, it's not just the name. You know, you can give a name to anybody, it doesn't make them what they're being named, isn't it? So, any other questions? Or any questions?
In the beginning, they were looking for the king. You put it in the oil in the body.
Yeah.
Yes. Did they find the king?
Or the king was in the oil. That was Nimi.
Yes.
They put him in the oil. That's why they found him.
But then they were looking for another king.
The way they got the other king was they took this king Nimi's genes after the king churned his body. It's called Miti or Maitila. They churned his body and they got the good genes out. This was a common thing the Brahmins knew how to do. There was another king in another story called Vena, and he was really bad. And this Vena used to kill all of his friends, consider himself to be God, stop the Brahmins from worshiping Vishnu. He said he was God. And so the Brahmins decided to kill him. So they actually killed him using mantras. But then they saw there was no king. And without a king, there's so many dacoits. It's described, there's so many robberies, and there were even clouds of dacoits. You know, so many of them was creating clouds. And so they thought, we need a king, so we have to have a king with some good king genes. So they had, took Vena's body and took out the bad DNA. Seriously. It's a Bhagavatam story. They took out the bad DNA, or the bad genes, and they kept the good ones. So the bad DNA became a person. And that person was Bahuka. Anyway, I'm not going to mention more about him. It's not politically correct. But this person was Bahuka, and that was the bad guy. And then out of the good genes came two people, Prithu Maharaj and Archie, his wife. So you got, you actually got three for the price of one. Right? And Prithu Maharaj is actually an incarnation of Krishna, Shaktivesha avatar. Archie is like a Shaktivesha of the Lakshmi. And Prithu Maharaj was renowned for basically bringing the earth back to the proper condition. Because the earth, this is actually interesting, even according to modern day understanding, the earth is actually a person. The scientists have this whole theory called the Gaia hypothesis. Anyone's heard about that before? No, some new information. They have this theory, and it's true, that just like we have many cells in our body, and we need know that each and every one of these cells is an individual soul in it. And but we're the presiding deity of this body. So the earth is a person. And all these different elements, including us, we're actually cells of the earth's body. Of course, some of us may be disease cells. A lot of us, you know, isn't it? So that's why the Earth's immune system is acting right now. And actually you have more earthquakes and everything like that. So anyway, there's this whole hypothesis. So even the scientists talk about it. You can look it up. It's called the Gaia hypothesis. And so the Earth, when it was under Vena, who was previously there before Prithu Maharaj and Archie, was not producing anything. Just like now, the earth is becoming less fertile, there's more deserts, and deserts are increasing, spreading. And in one sense, it's because of what we're doing, but it's also the earth's reaction to our impious activities. And so basically, Prithu Maharaj confronted the earth and sort of convinced the earth, forced the earth, to actually begin producing properly. And so he is known for actually plowing the earth and anyway, getting the earth back in shape. So the moral of that story is if we have a king or president like Prithu Maharaj, then things will become a lot better. But if we have a king or president like the one in the United States, you know, we're in trouble. I don't know about anyone else's president, king, or prime minister. But in Fiji, you have a nice prime minister. He's Ram. Isn't it? Bainimarama? Bainimarama.
It's what a Ram name.
Yeah. So every time you say his name, you make spiritual advancement. It's called Namabas Cheney. Okay, so I think we should take prasad now, right? Okay, thank you very much. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.